want to share God's word. We want to share the gospel. We want to see them accept Christ. And then we want to disciple them. We want to see them walk daily in their walk with the Lord.
Thank you all so much. It is fantastic to be here. We have really enjoyed our time. Special thanks to Stan and his wife for hosting us, putting us up in their home and enjoying it. Apparently, we are the test people. This is the first. I think he chose wrong in having us, but we're probably pretty easygoing folks. But we've had a great time. We have eaten well. They have fed us well. Then we went out with Emily for lunch, and then we went out with Pastor Mark for dinner. And I don't even know what's happening today other than this, so we're looking forward to it. But it's been a great time, and we always love coming up here and meeting with you guys and sharing with you all that has been going on in South Africa through all of those things. And yes, my wifey is sitting here. You can wave. I was going to say something about, like, have my daughter say something, but wave, Maya. There you go. I'll get in trouble for that because anytime I do anything, I get in trouble. So it'll be good. It's been a fantastic 4 years. It has been a crazy 4 years since our last time that we were here in the United States. And this actually marks our 20 years in South Africa. It's hard for me to just understand that, wrap my head around it. And I still am amazed. I remember the days when we made the two digits, when we made 10, and people were like, wow, you've been there forever. And now all of a sudden we're at 20 years, and God has just really blessed and done so many things. And our ministry has always had to adapt. When you work with young people, you constantly are adapting, changing things. A key part of that is your purpose or your philosophy never changes, but how you go about it constantly has to evolve and adapt to different things. And no more so than these last couple of years. Everything has changed. Everything that we have traditionally done has had to adapt. Our ministry revolved around, still revolves around, working with youth leaders, pastors, churches, all of these different things, but it's always been in person. All of a sudden, all of that changed, and we went to all of this virtual things and all of these things, and I have to admit, there was a lot of times over the last 4 years, especially the last two, that we were unsure of what was going to happen next because everything just kept changing. As soon as we would make a plan, the rules would change and things would have to adapt again and again going through all of that. And I really miss, I'm a people person. I love to hang out with people. I love this type of situation. You know, so I like to interact. When I had to record sermons and send them off to people, it was terrible because looking at the camera was just, there was no reaction and things. But I love the in-person things. And all of those things kind of came to an end. The exciting part was just before we came back, things opened up and we were actually allowed to go and do some face-to-face trainings. And so I have a few pictures. Oh, there's the family. I forgot to show you that one. That's everybody. So Marissa, Maya, Mary, and myself, and our son, which we'll tell you more about it tonight, just got married a few months ago. So he has married a young lady from Georgia, Brianna, and they're heading to Taiwan with Word of Life. So we'll share a little bit more about that a little bit later. But this is one of the trainings we were actually able to do. I was able to go in and do face-to-face training with them. And then here was a second one. So I was so excited. Just before leaving, I got to get back to what I was used to doing. The top one you'll see, it was a guy by the name of Didi. He's actually a car guard. So when we go to the shops, they protect your cars. And I got to meet him, got to know him a little bit, and found out he was a youth leader. And over the years, we just got to know him more and more and more, and eventually we were able to help him with his church in developing their youth ministry along those lines. And then the second one that you see there is a church that we were able to go about an hour and a half north of us, out of Durban, and we were able to work with three churches. So I loved the fact that we were able to kind of get back to some of those things. But I remember the day that the lockdown was announced in South Africa. So everything we normally did all came to an end. Now, this announcement came, and this is one of the things I'd love for you guys to see. We took a storage room, and we turned it into a classroom. And we did this pre-COVID, so all of this happened before. And this was the night, so the top picture you see there, that was the night they announced lockdowns. It was the first chance we had youth in the building, and we had 40 or 50 kids in there worshiping God, opening God's word, and that night was the night they announced the lockdown. And everything changed. Everything had to adapt. So we transitioned to videos. We transitioned to YouTube stuff. We became the experts, right? There's pastors and pastors' wives, and you know, we became experts overnight. Something we had never done before, we had to transition into doing all of those things. And then working with our youth leaders and youth pastors in that different way throughout all of it going forward. Now, another one of the things, and we were able to do going through all of this, and this was actually during lockdown, just before leaving South Africa, we were able to get involved in, I don't know where I got to on my notes. I must have jumped way too forward. Sorry, let me go back. I want you to see. So that was there. Oh, I don't have it in there. All right, so we were able to remodel the cottage, which you guys helped with. And so you have to come back tonight to see that. Hopefully you'll be able to come back and join us with all of that and being able to see what God has been able to do. And it was exciting when God gave us this property. 4 years ago, we were able to get this property. And we were able to use it through lockdown in a variety of different ways. And God gave us the opportunity, even amongst all the change, to pivot and change and do ministry with everybody going through all this. So this morning, I kind of want to share with you kind of our heartbeat, how we kept going through all of this. And I have to be honest, I have to tell you, we saw pastors, we saw youth pastors, we've seen missionaries all rise and fall during this time. Some of them have flourished and have done amazing things. And as I talk with the pastors here and things, the church is growing. The church is doing fantastic. And we've seen that in South Africa, but we've also seen the exact opposite. We've seen churches and pastors and people just kind of crumble and fall, even missionaries just not know what to do going through all of this. And for us, there was a few things that were really important that this is how we got through it all. And I just want to share with you three kind of quick thoughts, but it all revolves around this, just understanding God. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God prepared us for all of these things, and we just have got to be prepared to be used by God through all of this. And then in Matthew chapter 5, you probably know these verses as well. "We are the salt and the light of the world." We are to effect change. We are not to get along with everybody. We are not to just get along in life. We are to effect change in the people around us. And so we constantly need to be working on that and trying to do that. And so I came up with three things. The first thing is how we think, and then what we say and what we do should make a difference for eternity. And those are the things that have helped Mary and I and our ministry in South Africa to continue to flourish and continue to grow. So the first one was our thoughts count. And it's really how you think about people, how you look at people. When we first got to the United States, it's very common in South Africa when you're out driving around to go to an intersection and find somebody asking or begging for money. That is like everywhere. Everywhere you go, you see it. And you know, Sean could probably attest to this. Probably 95% of them are there just for the money. They don't really need anything. They're just there for the money. And so we've kind of gotten used to that, and we understand the situation, and we have our ways around it. But then we got here to the United States, and we were driving over to the good old Walmart, and there was a guy standing there asking for money. And I drove by, and because I was still in my South African mindset. Oh, he's probably just trying to rob us and trying to get rid of, just want stuff, But it's how we look at people. We can't just look at people and have this general, generic thought about them. We need to look at them, have passion for them, and have a love for them. Now, I don't know how bad it was here in the United States going through all the lockdowns, but it was pretty rough in South Africa. When we were in the hard lockdowns, people lost their jobs, and our unemployment rate was already really high. And then it went even higher as a result of all of these type of things. And so crime shot up. So we had a lot of crime, and we were still battling through all of the crime and different things. So people were in a desperate need for help. And that's one of the things that we were able to transition into. It's not part of our normal ministry, but it was a need. It was how we were looking at people and meeting people's needs. So we took that classroom that we had developed for meetings and things, and we turned it into a food pantry. So through our church and the donations of people around us, we were able to supplement both food and personal supplies for 18 families for several months. It was like 3 or 4 months we were able to help them through that time and getting them through all of those. And then we had another person in our church, one of our youth leaders. They got involved in a feeding scheme where they were going to a community that has really rough hit through all of this. And they were able to feed over 100 people on a daily basis. And our church volunteered to feed them one day a week. So our church was coming over and we were feeding them. We were taking toys and gifts and clothes, and we were playing soccer with the kids and all of these different things just to reach out and to meet needs, because that's where it was at that moment. That was the need, and how we looked at them was so important, and how we looked at the needs of the people around us. It reminds me, not too long ago in our quiet time, we were reading about Zacchaeus, right? All the people looked at Zacchaeus as this little guy who was cheating us and just wanting to get rid of him. But that's not how Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked at him as somebody who needed the gospel. And so he invited him. He said, I'm coming to your house. I'm going to sit down with you and I'm going to have a conversation. And we're going to meet your need through all of this. I guess my question when it comes to our thoughts, how do you look at people? Do you look at people like Jesus looks at people? There's a need. It's not whether they're this or that, and maybe I'll hit the trigger button here. You know, it's not whether they're Democratic or Republican, right? It's do they know Jesus or do they not? That's what it comes down to. We don't need to live our lives in any other way but other than looking at them and saying, that person needs the Lord. And we need to do everything we can to help them find that going forward. Now, in our family, one of the things that we've always had a privilege of doing, we love serving people, we love helping people, we love being involved in all of those type of things, and we have a couple of quotes that we love to live by, specifically one being serving God by serving others. So we are very service-oriented. I am not a theologian. I see Dr. Wendell Calder sitting here, and that makes me, my daughter was asking me, are you nervous to speak? And I'm like, no, not usually. I'm usually good. Then I saw him, and now it's like, whew, man. Shoo. Yeah. He knows my boss. And so he's going to report back to my boss probably and give me a hard time. You know, I'm a worker guy. I love serving people. And it's become the mantra in our house, serve God by serving others. What can we do for you? And we love to help people. We love to serve people. And that has just translated into our house, where we have our house. And this is the second one. There's always room for one more. So on a Sunday like today, you know, we would be at church. And we would go as a family to church. But then when we all started getting ready to leave church, we would drive up and I'd be picking up Mary. And all of a sudden there would be like four or five youth just kind of standing there. And they're a little shy to ask the question, but they all want to come for lunch. All right, so they're all wanting to come over. And that's our mantra. There's always room for one more. And so we want to have people in our home, and we want to have them there, because that's how we affect change in the lives of people. We want to serve them. We want to help them moving forward. Now, here you'll see some of our family photos. This is probably one of our kind of most recent ones there on the top. You'll see extra people there, Lawrence and William. And then in the bottom, we call them our other daughters. So when we were in Joburg for 11 years, we spent a lot of time with these three girls, Cormelda, Ntombi, and Natasha, which Natasha's getting married soon, which is kind of, whew, you know, hard for me at some point and things. But we love having people in our house. And the last two there are those who are in my house right now, which I'm so thankful. They're house-sitting for us. But the one in the bottom corner, his name is Lishle. He's one of the youth in our church. His family can afford to get him to university, but can't afford to house him and feed him. So he's staying with us. And in the top corner up there, Ailton, he is our intern, which I call him intern. I can't even really call him an intern. He has a master's degree in electrical engineering, and he's working. But he's trying to figure out what God wants him to do with his life. And I said, no problem. Just come stay with us. Just hang out with us, do ministry with us, do things with us, and go to work. It's not going to affect me in any way, but I want to have that influence. I want to have that impact in his life and give him an opportunity to figure it out. So, and plus I got to use him for house sitting, so he's really great taking care of all of those things. So there is a little bonus, a little extra in there for me as well, going through all of that. But we love all of those things, and we love seeing what God is going to do in all of those. I think God will reveal our hearts through these difficult times. How we think about people, what we think about people, will result in what we do for people. So if you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I don't do anything for anybody. Church is over, man, I bolt for the car. And I understand that sometimes. I'm not my wife and daughter are not necessarily people. I'm a people person. I will talk forever, and my kids will make games and jokes and things about how long it takes for dad to get out to the car. And I get that, that's okay. But how we think about them and what we do for people is so important for us moving forward. All right, number two. Let me jump into this, keep going. The words we say count for all of this. We value our conversations. But what actually comes out of our mouths? What do we actually spend time talking about? Is it frivolous little things or strange little arguments? Or are we focused on sharing the gospel? What we say makes a huge difference in the lives of people. And not just what we say. If I could say this too, how we say it, right? How you say things. We started reading an audiobook or listening to an audiobook in the car. It was about happiness. And if you respond to somebody with happiness, they tend to respond happiness back to you. But when we respond grumpy, they can be grumpy back to us. Yeah, don't point at him. I saw that. But I agree with you. One of the things in South Africa I love the most, and I'm so glad that they were able to do it for Sean's birthday, but a braai. So a braai is a South African barbecue, all right? But it is completely different than here in the U.S. Here in the U.S., you have a barbecue, you go out on your porch, you flip some burgers, some hot dogs, maybe, you know, if you got the little extra, you got some steaks or whatever on there, and you flip them, you go in and you have your, you know, you eat and you go, and things like that. Well, in South Africa, you know, the guys have to go out, light the charcoal first, because, you know, gas is just awful. That's terrible. So we have to light the charcoal. And we have to stand around and watch the charcoal for 45 minutes until it's ready to go. And then they debate whether it's ready or not, or this end is, that end's not. And then all the food comes out. And there is just a bizarre amount and different types of food. But the whole time that we're cooking and doing all of this, we're having conversations. And South Africans love to debate. They love to have arguments. Political, you know, all these different things, personal, you know, everything. They just go at it during the braai. But the most amazing thing happens. When the food is done, they all sit around a table and share food together and fellowship. They leave it at the braai, and then they come back and they're friends. And they can have a meal together. All right? Now, I don't, here again, I'll push the buttons, you know. If a good old Democrat, Mark says, I'm a right-wing Republican man, and you know, what if a left-wing Democrat came in? Would you all be able to have lunch with him? Would you ever be able to have a nice conversation? Our words matter. What we say makes a difference. We could have a great argument with them, and we could win the argument, right? Because, whoa, man, we got it all. But we never get a chance to share the gospel. That's the sad truth. And I'm finding right now, and I'm not trying to say this just in the United States, but you know, people around the world will go to extreme measures to get their opinion across. And they will do anything and everything. We had riots in South Africa, all right, for a silly reason. Our ex-president, our previous president, was sent to prison because of corruption, which he was corrupt and it should have happened. But they rioted because they put him into prison. And they just wanted to get their opinion across and all of these things. Now, we did get to do a smash, and I want to show you these pictures as well. So we did a mission trip just before we came over, students ministering and serving him. And we'll talk more about this tonight as well. But we were able to have a braai. So we had the kids over doing different projects around our church and around Word of Life property. And they were able to help with the cottage as well. So they were involved in all of that. But at the end, we were able to have a fantastic braai with them. And I love that time when we were able to sit down and to fellowship with them and to talk through things and go through all of those things together as a youth group and things. So I went, oh, you can look at the verse, it's fine. So we just got to go through all these things, and all of that is important for us. But when we are talking to people, it is so important, the words that we say and how we go about saying all of those things. We as believers, we are to bring comfort and understanding to people around us. Look at this verse. I love this. There's two here. Listen to this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Whew, that's a little bit tougher. Your enemies to be at peace with you because of your words, what you say. I think Mark was saying it this morning. We were, as Christians, we were set aside. We were set apart. When we became Christians, we were set aside. We were put apart to be different than the rest of the world. Okay, now we have to live in this world, and I think we should be involved in the politics of this world and the issues of this world, but we've been set apart for something bigger, and the bigger thing is sharing the gospel. Amen. Nothing should stop us or hinder us from sharing the gospel, including politics. We should be at peace with our enemies. That's not so easy. But we've never been called to do anything easy, have we? It's always been an uphill battle for us. Another verse, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Even when they are unjust to you, we should be at peace with them and show respect to them. Again, not so easy when it comes to doing all that. I love a good-spirited conversation. I love it. But it should never hinder my opportunity to share the gospel. And it should be the same with you. Never allow any conversation or anything. The only conflict that should be involved is in this passage. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing the soul and the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God is the only thing that should create conflict, because they are living as sinners, and the gospel should be a conflict. Like, hey, I have to change. I need to do something different. That's the conflict that they should be involved in. We should not distract them with any other conflict. We should allow them to focus on the conflict that they are presented there with the gospel. So yeah, our words, our conversations, they all need to be drawing people to the Savior, not pushing them away. And so think about the last couple of conversations you've had. Have they brought people to Christ, or have they kept people at arm's length or pushed them away from the gospel? So our words do matter. Last one. Oh yeah, I still have time. Good. All right, last one is what we do counts. So our actions count. What we do in this world is of the utmost importance. We are only here for a short time. God has only allowed us here for a little while. And so we only have a limited amount of time to be in service for God's calling in our lives. So in Romans, one of my favorite passages, Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies the living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And it goes on, it's your reasonable service. Remember, you were set aside, right? You have been chosen by God to be in his family. You are a part of God's family. And because you are in that family, there's certain responsibilities that you have to do. There are certain things that you have been called to do because you're in that family. And according to that verse, it's not unreasonable for God to ask you to do those things. He has given you eternal life, and he just wants a little bit of work from you while you're here. So we are not to be like this world. We are to be different. We are to live different. Everything we are to doing is to be different than what the world is doing. We are not to be like them. Not everyone is called out to be a vocational missionary. But can I say this? We are all missionaries. We have all been called to a task, and that is to go and make disciples. We were talking about it the other night. Disciple making disciples. That is our purpose. We are to make disciple making disciples. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's been Mary and I's life passion with Word of Life. We want to share God's word. We want to share the gospel. We want to see them accept Christ. And then we want to disciple them. We want to see them walk daily in their walk with the Lord. And not only that, but we want them to go find somebody and do the same thing that we did with them and continue the process. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He took 12 men and made disciple-making disciples. And that's where we get to today because of that beginning process. And it needs to continue. It must continue on. We have all been called out to be his ambassadors or all those things, right? First, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon you, and you will be my witnesses, ambassadors, in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Our mission field is where you are right now. Right here, right now, this is your mission field. I don't know if you've ever remembered, and I remember in the olden days, or back in the days, there used to be signs in some churches, you know, when at the top of the door, you are entering the mission field. Fantastic thought. The problem is, the mission field kind of creeped into our churches, hasn't it? It's here, right here where we are. I'll get side notes all the time. But I'm speaking at a missions conference here in a couple of weeks at my own church. And I love my church to no end. They are fantastic. I love the Ethnos 360 ministry. I love all of those things. And my church has a lot of Ethnos 360 missionaries in it. And they are passionate about reaching unreached people groups. And they have a passion for it. And I love it. I love what they're doing. I love the ministries that they're involved in. You know, then here I am, a Word of Life missionary. I go to cities. You know, I'm in Durban, you know, 4 million people in the city of Durban, and I'm there. There's no tribal groups there. I mean, we have, you know, some tribes from Africa and things, but they're not the same situation. But when I started thinking it through, I thought about the current youngest generation we have, right? The Gen Zers, which is like 2 billion people. Do you realize that these kids, it's the biggest generation we've ever had in the history of when they started keeping track. There is no bigger generation ever, according to George Burnham, which, let's be honest, if it's a statistic, he knows it, and we'll just leave it with him. All right? He's the statistics guy. But he also labeled them as the first post-Christian generation. Ouch. Whose fault is that? Mom and dad, raise your hand. Right? It's our responsibility as parents to bring them up. Word of Life's philosophy has always been, it is the responsibility of this generation to reach their generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love that, because it is their responsibility to do that. But we as parents are to raise our kids in a godly way to help them reach those, their friends and their colleagues and the people that are around them. So when I think about unreached people groups, it's Gen Zs. It's a huge ministry. And where are the Gen Zers? They're in the other rooms, right? Where all the Sunday school rooms are, and there's a handful of them in here. They're all around you. So when you go to the shop, when you go to work, in your neighborhood, sometimes in your own homes, the mission field is everywhere you go, because there are unreached people all over the place. We cannot even assume people know about the Bible at all anymore. We have to teach the roots of the Bible in order to make sure they know that before we can share the gospel as well with them in certain areas. Because we just can't assume. We used to be able to assume that in the United States, couldn't we? They have a Bible knowledge. Can't do that anymore. We just can't do it. So we have got to be teaching God's word to them. For us, furlough is always a great time of reflection. You know, it's fantastic. We get to come back, and normally we do 3 years, but this one was 4. So we get to think about the last 4 years. What did God do through us and with us over these last 4 years? And I'm always humbled by what God has done. And we're going to share in more detail this evening about all of those things. But it really comes down for me, and I'm thinking about going through this when I go to this. It's what God is doing through us and through people in the lives of the lost people around South Africa. And as a missionary, vocational missionary, I love what I do. I love getting up every morning. I really do. I can't wait. All right? I love to get up, and I love to get involved, and I love to see what's happening. And I'm even at a spot now where, best chance that I head back October 27th. I'm itching to go back. I'm ready. I'd go back tomorrow if they let me, type of thing. I'm ready because I want to get back, and I want to get doing things. But my mission field is here as well. Wherever I am is my mission field. Now, Mary and I, we have been called to a faraway place. You may have been called right here to stay here. And there is absolutely no problem with you being called to stay right here and be a missionary for God. If that's where God wants you, then that's where you need to be. And you need to be the best missionary possible right where God has called you. And that might be right here. But there might be some in here who need to go a little bit further. You know, maybe, I know this is probably sacrilegious, you might need to leave Maine. All right? And not just like to go to the hospital for something, you know, to actually leave and go somewhere, all right? And maybe God wants you to go, you know, all in, just jump all the way in and go to South Africa. Can I tell you, Mary and I have been in Durban for 9 years, all right? And we've had a lot of interns, and we'll talk about those again tonight. and we love our interns, but we have not had anyone transition from intern to staff, and we have not added any new staff in Durban in 9 years. The ministry is ready to grow and to explode, but we don't have the people. Maybe, just maybe, you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, you know what? God has called me to be a missionary. I'm willing to be a missionary right here, but maybe, I'm looking at the pastor and they're giving me a grumpy look. Maybe you need to go to South Africa. Maybe you need to come all the way over and join what God is doing there. I don't care really where you go. Of course, I would love for you to come to South Africa, all right? Because we certainly need the help. But you know what's more important? That what you do makes a difference for eternity. Everything you do should make a difference for eternity. And it's not going to be easy, right? We've had all kinds of issues in South Africa. You've had all sorts of issues here in the United States. It doesn't matter where you go. There's issues revolving around it. So you're never going to get rid of the issues. But what you do about them and how you think about them and how you respond to them makes a difference, and that you just keep pressing on makes a difference for eternity. Is what you're doing right now make a difference for eternity? Do you wake up in the morning excited, full of joy? I can't wait to go to work because I get the chance to live God in front of my coworkers. I'm so excited to do that, and just maybe I'll get a chance to share the gospel. I can't wait. Oh, that's going to be so amazing. Or are you, oh, I got to go to work. I hate this job. It's the worst thing ever. What you do matters. How you think matters. What you say matters. And all of those things should matter when it comes to eternity. One of the things that I've loved over the 9 years, we have always been praying that God would reach out in South Africa, that God would use South Africa to reach other countries in Africa. And it's something Mary and I and the whole team in South Africa, we've been praying about for years. And so we went and we started praying, okay, South Africa has the ability to reach and to send other people to other areas. And so all of our interns, all of our staff, anybody who's been around us, we are praying to reach further. And I'll say, you know, I haven't kept any of my interns. Most of the interns that we've had are in ministry, just not with Word of Life. They're doing some other ministry. And you know what? I am completely and totally okay with that, because they're going where God wants them to go. That's the key question. Where does God want you? And they're going to different places. And so we've had, And we've had an opportunity to see God expand Word of Life South Africa into other areas in the neighborhood. So we have Mozambique, which Mozambique is Portuguese speaking. I don't speak Portuguese, okay? But we have Ailton, the guy who's staying with me. He's from Angola. Guess what they speak in Angola? Portuguese, all right? But we go to, Word of Life South Africa goes to Mozambique and does English camp with the Word of Life that is there. We've been able to go to Zimbabwe, which is just north of us, Swaziland, Lesotho. I have a young guy that I discipled. He's in Malawi right now. We have people all over Africa, and it's all started out of South Africa, not because of Mary and I specifically, but what God is doing through us, and it makes a difference for eternity. And you could have the same impact. You could have the same impact in the world if you're willing to put all those other things aside and say, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to work, but I am going to totally commit to you. Everything I think, everything I say, and everything I do will now be for you and for eternity. Are you willing to make that statement? Are you willing to make that commitment? I think if we could do that, we can change the world for God. Problem is, we don't want to do it. But I think it was Pastor Mark said, it all starts here in the church. It all starts right here. If you guys decide to do that, you can change Maine. If Maine changed, Maine can change everybody else. And it can go on and on and on. But we've got to be willing and able and have a desire to do that. All right, let me just kind of close off quickly with a thank you again. I want to thank you guys for your involvement with us. We could not do what we do in South Africa without you. It is truly awesome to have you guys a part of it. And so keep praying for us. Our furlough is not over. We still have a good month. Still have a bunch of meetings and things we got to do. Also be praying for our financial side of things. I love this, all right? This is going to be this is like a blessing for me to say. And this is the best we've ever done. We are currently in need of $110 a month new support. And then we would be fully funded. We've never been that close. In the 20 years we've been doing ministry, we've never been that close. All right? And so we're just amazed. And even through COVID, we raised support during COVID. People were calling us. Hey, what are you guys up to? Are you guys still doing this? Yes, yeah. Oh, I want to pick you up. You know, and they saw what we were doing. They wanted to be involved in all of that. So I am so thankful for what God is doing through all of that. And also later tonight, I will talk with you about a project that we have going on. So the property that we purchased 4 years ago, that God purchased 4 years ago, we got to do some renovations. And so we're going to show you some pictures this evening about that and give you guys an idea. And I'm sure you will all understand this. I can't give you numbers right now because COVID has thrown prices into just chaos. All right, so we don't know, and that revolves completely around COVID and the prices, but we are working on that because we want to present that to you guys so you guys know what we're doing and what's happening, and we want to be smart about how we go through that. But yeah, let me, before I just close in prayer, again, thank you guys. Thank you for your involvement. And really, if anybody here wants to change a little bit or wants to talk about a change in their life, come and see Mary and I. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to pray. We'll see what God has for you, where God wants you. And I'm jokingly saying we want you all to come to South Africa, right? We need more people. Yes, even Dr. Wendell called me. Hey, if you want to come on over, my friend. Anybody and everybody. We're always looking for more. But the most important question is, are you where God wants you to be? That's the question you need to answer. And we would love to pray with you about that and to make sure that you're exactly where God wants you to be and doing exactly what it is he wants you to be doing. Let me close off in a word of prayer, and I will be finished. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, what a privilege it is we have to come to church, to fellowship together, to encourage one another, Lord, and just to be together as fellow believers. Lord, what a privilege that is. And Lord, you know my heart. You know that there's churches still in South Africa who haven't been able to meet 2 years now, and they haven't been able to meet. Lord, and I pray that you'll just be with the pastors, the churches, the youth leaders, the youth in South Africa. Lord, and I look forward to getting back. Lord, and again, just thank you for this church and their involvement in our ministry and their impact that they have made for eternity in the lives of young people all throughout Africa. Lord, and just be with us. Help us and guide us. Lord, to do more for you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.